Happiest day, beautiful soul. Welcome back to The Medium Matters, the podcast where we're all mini mystics learning about the paranormal, the supernatural, and all the things together. And everyone is living their very best magical life. I'm your host, Chantel, and today we're diving into the mysterious realm of tarot cards. Get ready to uncover the truth behind these enigmatic cards, their rich history, and how they can offer insight into your life. So grab your favorite blankie, sip your tea, and let's vibe with the cards, shall we? Let's kick off our journey by taking a little trip back in time to where tarot cards first came to life. You might be surprised to learn that tarot cards weren't originally made for fortune telling or anything mystical like that. No, they actually started out as a card game for the nobility in 15th century Italy. The earliest tarot decks popped up between 1440 and 1450 in places like Milan, Ferrara, Florence, and Bologna. These decks were known as triumph cards, and they were an extension of the regular playing card deck. What set these cards apart was the addition of a fifth suit, which included 21 trump cards and a special fool card. These trump cards had some pretty cool illustrations that many scholars believe represented characters from medieval reenactments of Roman triumphs. Isn't that fascinating? It's so wild to think that what we now associate with mysticism and divination actually started out as entertainment for the upper class. As tarot made its way across Europe, it evolved into different regional styles like the French tarot. But how did we go from playing cards to using tarot for divination? That shift didn't actually happen until much later in the 18th century. That's when some French occultists began to dig deeper into the meanings behind the cards, linking them to ancient Egyptian wisdom and other esoteric traditions. The first recorded use of tarot for cartomancy, basically fortune-telling with cards, dates back to around 1750 in an anonymous manuscript. This document laid out some basic meanings for the tarot cards from the Tarocco Bolognese, an Italian tarot deck. The real boom in esoteric tarot happened in the 1780s with Antoine Court and Jean-Baptiste Elliot. He was the first to create a tarot deck specifically designed for occult purposes, weaving in themes from ancient Egypt. This fascinating journey from a simple card game to a tool for divination really shows our natural desire to find meaning and seek guidance in so many different ways. Now that we've explored the origins of tarot cards, let's dive into what makes up a modern tarot deck. So, a typical tarot deck has 78 cards, which are split into two main groups. First, the major arcana. Second, the minor arcana. The major arcana, often called the trump cards, includes 22 cards. So, these cards represent big life events, archetypal figures, and powerful forces that shape our journeys. Each card in this group has its own unique name and illustration. Think the Fool, the Magician, the High Priestess, and the World. On the flip side, we have the Minor Arcana, which is made up of 56 cards divided into four suits. We have Wands, Cups, Swords, and Pentacles, or Coins. Each suit contains 10 numbered cards from Ace to 10, plus four court cards, Page, Knight, Queen, and King. The Minor Arcana cards often reflect our everyday experiences, emotions, and challenges. They can give us more specific insights into particular situations we might be facing. It's also good to know that while this structure is pretty standard in most modern tarot decks, there can be some variations. Some decks might use different names for the suits or court cards, or even include extra cards. But overall, the basic setup of 78 cards divided into major and minor arcana is consistent across most tarot traditions. Getting to know this structure is super important if you're interested in learning tarot. Each card's position in the deck adds to its overall meaning and how we interpret it. Now that we've talked about the structure of tarot, let's dive into how to use tarot cards effectively and responsibly. Whether you're just starting out or looking to deepen your practice, these tips will help you make the most of your tarot experience. First things first, approach tarot with an open mind and a sense of curiosity. Remember, tarot isn't about getting exact answers or making predictions. It's about exploring possibilities and gaining new insights. So be ready for whatever the cards might reveal, even if it surprises you. Next up, creating a calm and focused space for your readings is super important. This could mean finding a quiet corner, lighting a candle, or even taking a few minutes to meditate before you start. The goal here is to clear your mind and really be present in the moment. Next, when it comes to asking questions, try to be specific, but also keep it open-ended. Instead of just asking yes or no questions, think about how you can rephrase your inquiries to allow for deeper exploration. For example, instead of saying, "Will I go to college?" you might ask instead, "What do I need to know about my education path?" This way, you will get much richer insights. Also, keep in mind that tarot is a tool for guidance, not a replacement for professional advice. While it can offer some valuable insights, it shouldn't take the place of medical, legal, or financial advice from qualified professionals. Another really great practice is to keep a tarot journal. After each reading, jot down the cards you drew, your interpretations, and any feelings or insights that came up. This can help you spot patterns over time and deepen your understanding of the cards. If you're reading for someone else, always approach it with ethics in mind. Be clear about what tarot can and can't do, and make sure to respect the querent's privacy and autonomy. Remember, your role is to provide support and insight, not to make decisions for them. Lastly, don't hesitate to build your own unique relationship with the cards. While there are traditional meanings for each card, your intuition and personal associations are just as important, if not more. The more you work with your deck, the more personalized and nuanced your readings will become. By following these best practices, you will be well on your way to creating a meaningful and enriching tarot practice that supports not just your personal growth, but also self-discovery. Hey there, magical friend. Are you ready to sprinkle a little more magic into your everyday life? If you love the show, you will definitely want to follow us on Instagram. Join our vibrant community where we share tips to make your day truly magical. From harnessing the power of moon cycles to surviving retrogrades like a pro, we've got all the cosmic wisdom you need. Plus, dive into seasonal magic and discover fun ways to celebrate each time of the year. Follow us for inspiration, enchanting rituals, and a sprinkle of positivity that'll brighten your feed. Tap that follow button and let's make our days a little more extraordinary. Can't wait to see you there. Now, back to the show. One of the coolest things about tarot is how it can offer insights about the querent, or the person getting the reading. But what exactly do tarot cards reveal, and how does all of this work? First off, it's important to know that tarot cards aren't magical or supernatural in nature. Think of them more like a mirror that reflects different aspects of the querent's subconscious mind and their current life situation. When someone shuffles the deck and draws cards, they're creating a random mix of symbols and archetypes. The reader then interprets these symbols based on the querent's question or situation. This process can uncover thought patterns, hidden emotions, or perspectives that the querent might not even realize they have. For example, if someone is feeling stuck on a decision and pulls the Two of Swords, it might indicate that they're facing indecision or need to find balance between two different choices. The card doesn't dictate what they should do. Instead, it encourages them to think about why they're feeling this way and what information they might need to move forward. Tarot can also highlight underlying themes or energies in a person's life. The cards might point out areas where the querent is growing, challenges they're dealing with, or opportunities they haven't noticed yet. For instance, if a lot of cup cards show up in a reading, it could suggest that emotions and relationships are really important in the querent's current situation. It's key to remember that what tarot reveals isn't set in stone. The cards give a snapshot of energies and possibilities at that moment. How the querent chooses to respond to these insights is completely up to them. Also, what tarot reveals often depends more on the querent's interpretation than on the cards themselves. The symbols and stories in the cards serve as prompts for self-reflection. In a lot of ways, the insights gained from a tarot reading come from the querent's own intuition and self-awareness, sparked by what they see in the cards. This is why tarot can be such an amazing tool for personal growth and self-discovery. It really provides a framework for exploring our inner world and bringing light to aspects of ourselves and our situations that we might not have consciously recognized. So, in essence, tarot doesn't just reveal hidden truths about a person, it helps them uncover truths within themselves. It's all about introspection, self-reflection, and gaining fresh perspectives on life's challenges and opportunities. So you're curious about learning to read tarot cards, right? Well, that is freaking awesome. Whether you're just starting out or looking to brush up on your skills, I have some easy ways to get you going on your tarot journey. First, start with a beginner-friendly deck. Grab a deck that resonates with you. There are tons of beautiful tarot decks out there, but some are more beginner-friendly than others. Look for one that has clear imagery and maybe even a guidebook that explains the meanings. Next, get familiar with the cards. Take some time to just look at your cards. Lay them all out and spend a few minutes with each one. Notice the colors, symbols, and the images. This is your chance to connect with them before diving into their meanings. Next up, learn the major arcana first. The major arcana cards tell the big stories in tarot. Think of them as the major plot points in a book. Start by learning these 22 cards because they represent significant life events and archetypes. Next, explore the minor arcana. So once you feel comfortable with the major arcana, move on to the minor arcana. These 56 cards are divided into four suits: wands, cups, swords, and pentacles or coins. And they often reflect day-to-day experiences. Learning these will give you a fuller picture of what tarot can offer. My next tip is to use your intuition. Don't worry about memorizing every single meaning right away. Instead, trust your gut feelings when interpreting the cards. What do the images make you feel? Your personal insights can be just as valuable as traditional meanings, if not more. Next, pull a daily card. A great way to practice is by pulling one card every single day. Reflect on its meaning and how it relates to your day ahead or what you've experienced. This daily practice helps reinforce your learning while keeping it light and fun. My next tip is to keep a tarot journal. Writing things down can really help solidify your understanding. Jot down your daily card pulls, your interpretations, and any insights you gain over time. It's also really nice to look back and see how much you've learned. Next up, watch tutorials or even join online communities. There are heaps of fantastic resources available online. YouTube has tons of tarot tutorials that can really help demystify the cards for you. Plus, joining online communities or forums can connect you with other learners who share tips and experiences. Next, practice reading for others. Once you feel a bit more confident, try reading for friends and family. This is a really great way to gain experience and see how different people interpret the cards differently based on their own lives. Lastly, be patient with yourself. Remember that learning tarot is a journey. Don't rush it or feel pressured to know everything right away. Enjoy the process, keep exploring, and allow yourself to grow at your own pace. Just remember to have fun with it, trust yourself, and let the cards guide you on your journey of self-discovery. Let's chat about some common pitfalls beginners often stumble into when they are just starting out with tarot and how to sidestep them. Trust me, we have all been there. First off, one of the biggest mistakes is relying too heavily on the guidebook that comes with your deck. I know it is super tempting to treat it like a tarot Bible, but here's the thing. Your intuition is your best friend in tarot reading. Use the book as a starting point, but don't be afraid to trust your gut feelings about what the cards are telling you. Another big one is trying to do readings when you're all wound up emotionally. Let's say you've just had a big fight with your bestie and you are itching to know if you guys are going to patch things up. Listen, just hold your horses, pump the brakes. Reading when you are emotional can really muddy the waters. Make sure you take a breather, ground yourself, and come back to the cards when you're feeling much more centered. Here's another common one: asking yes or no questions. I get it. We all want clear-cut answers sometimes, but tarot isn't the magic eight ball, you know? Instead of asking, will I get the job? Try something like, what do I need to know about this job opportunity? This opens up so many more possibilities for insights. Now, let's talk about the dreaded negative cards. You know, the Tower, Death, the Devil, those guys. Beginners often freak out when they see these, but here's a secret. There are no bad cards. Each one has valuable lessons to teach us, so instead of panicking, get curious about what these cards might be trying to tell you. Another big mistake is doing multiple readings on the same topic in a short span of time. It's like asking your mom the same question over and over, hoping for a different answer. It just leads to confusion. Give yourself time to process one reading before diving into another on the same subject. Next, Don't fall into the trap of thinking you need to memorize every single meaning for every single card before you can start doing readings. Remember, it is a journey, not a destination. Start simple, maybe with a daily card draw, and build your knowledge from there. And intuition is your best friend. Lastly, remember that tarot is a tool for self-reflection and growth, not a crystal ball that predicts a set-in-stone future. Avoid the mistake of taking every reading as an absolute prediction. Instead, use the insights you gain to make informed decisions and navigate your path. Remember, everyone's tarot journey is so unique, so be patient with yourself and enjoy the process. Here's one we haven't talked about. Those tricky reverse cards, right? Don't worry. We've all been there. They make you feel a little nervous when they show up. They're upside down and just kind of taunting you. But I have some tips to help you to make you feel more at ease. So let's talk about it. First off, remember, there is no rush. If you're just starting out, it is totally okay to focus on upright meanings for a while. Get comfortable with those first and then dip your toes into the world of reverse cards when you're ready. There is no pressure here. When you do decide to tackle reversals, start small. Maybe try reading with just one or two reverse cards in your deck. This way, you're not overwhelmed, but you still get the practice. It's like adding a pinch of spice to your tarot soup. Just enough to notice, but not so much that it takes over the whole dish, right? Another helpful tip is to think of reversals as energy that's blocked or internal. So if you draw the Sun card reversed, instead of thinking, oh no, there's no happiness, consider that maybe the joy is there, but it's hidden or turned inward. This approach can really help you to see reversals in a less scary light. Keep a journal. I know, it sounds like homework. We talk about journals all the time, but trust me on this, it is important and it helps so much. Jot down your thoughts on reverse cards when they come up in a reading, and over time you'll start to see that patterns form in how you interpret these cards. And that can boost your confidence big time. Next, don't be afraid to get creative with your interpretations. There's no tarot police who's about to come and bang down your door if you read a reversal differently than the book says. Your intuition is your best guide here. If a meaning feels right to you, go with it. My next tip is to remember that reversed cards aren't inherently negative or bad. They're just another layer of information. Think of them as the tarot's way of nudging you to look a little deeper or consider a different perspective. Lastly, be patient with yourself. Learning to read reversals is a process, and it's okay if it takes time. Every reader has their own journey with tarot, so don't compare your progress to anyone else's. You've got this, my friend. Remember to take it one card at a time, trust your gut, and before you know it, you'll be reading those upside-down cards like a pro. I've been working on my tarot game on and off for years, and I will tell you, I used to be so scared of the cards, would not go near them. Back in the day, one of my aunts started dabbling in tarot and doing readings for literally anyone who would let her. To make a long story short, her readings were so spot on, it was insane. But very strange and spooky things started happening. And from that time on, I vowed to never go near the cards again. Fast forward to the universe bringing my beautiful friend and teacher Sophie into my world, and those fears are a thing of the past. Now I understand that all energetic work, including Reiki, working with divination tools, meditation, mediumship, using the clairs, and everything in between, deserves the utmost respect. This episode is not meant to be a deep dive into tarot, so I can't possibly cover everything. Also, I'm still learning, so there would be a lot of gaps. That said, I always encourage you to work with a trained professional who understands and absolutely follows best practices and, most importantly, knows how to keep you safe. Although I'm still learning, I will share a few of my best practices that I never leave home without. First up, I always clear my decks before and after a reading. Next, I begin every reading by setting up physical and energetic protection in the form of clear intentions, opening and closing prayers, smudging my space, setting up protective crystals, the works. Next, I store my decks in a box with loose sage leaves to keep things nice and clean and protected. Next, I don't let anyone touch my personal cards. So I have cards I use for myself and cards I use to read other people, and never the two shall meet. I respect my decks and assign each deck a different task similar to the way I would with my pendulums and crystals and all the things. In terms of learning, I will tell you that one of the things that has helped me the most is pulling a card every single day. To take it a step further, I was subscribing to Tamed Wild's monthly planner, which includes a section, I think it's called Daily Divination, and it doesn't specifically say to use this section for daily tarot readings, but that's how I used it, and it was fabulous. I would pull a card, I would write down the card that I pulled, and I would identify if I pulled upright or reversed, and then I would put my interpretation of the card, and then I would put what the book said or what I found online. It was really interesting because over time, I would go back and read through the different days and start to see some patterns, some connections, and was even able to go back like months later and see where things had come up in the cards that actually transpired. So it was really cool to see that. I will make sure to put a link for the Tamed Wild site in the show notes in case you're interested in checking them out. They offer a lot of really cool tools and spells, tips, and so much more. I love them. I am obsessed. They have subscriptions you can look into, so I will make sure to link it just for you. And that wraps up today's episode, our exploration into the fascinating world of tarot. I really hope that you found some valuable insights and tips that make you feel more comfortable with your own tarot journey. Remember, tarot is all about intuition, reflection, and personal growth, so just embrace the process and enjoy every moment of it. If you have questions or experiences you'd like to share, I would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out to the show on social media or drop a comment wherever you listen to the podcast. And hey, if you found this episode helpful, why not share it with a friend who's curious about tarot too, right? Until next time, this is Chantel with The Medium Matters, reminding you to keep exploring, keep questioning, and most importantly, keep shining your beautiful, unique light. Happy reading, friend.